Jeff, what are the biggest things that Duke Energy is doing to get ahead of this storm or any potential winter weather event that we might face in the Triangle?
Well, we're in a cycle here where we're seeing some winter weather kind of back-to-back. We had a little bit of precipitation last weekend. We're looking at the potential Friday evening into Saturday of winter weather. And you know, we still got a couple of days to figure out what that is going to be. We'll be looking really closely at where that dividing line is between snow or freezing rain or just rain. And when you think about winter weather, it only takes a couple degrees to make a difference in what you see. So it's going to be really important for us to keep monitoring that forecast. Our in-house team of meteorologists is watching that closely because that's going to determine whether we see any outage impacts or whether it's just a cold, wintry day.
In terms of staging or going to particular areas to get ahead of a storm, do you wait until the last possible moment to put your crews in places where they could be most impactful?
Well, you know, it always depends on the storm that we're seeing develop. In this case, we've got the potential for impacts across the state. So they'll probably be in pockets in certain areas. So what we typically do is keep our local crews on alert. They're ready to respond when they see outages. And because we do have so many crews in relative close proximity, we can readjust that allocation fairly quickly. We can shift crews to one part of the state or one part of the triangle, you know, whatever we need to attack those problems. And so we'll be watching those outages develop and determine where we need to adjust. But because it is statewide, we really don't want to move a crew out of a community. They could potentially see outage impact. So we'll be kind of adjusting throughout the day, Friday and Saturday.
Is there anything new this winter about the way you prepare or respond to a winter storm versus previous years?
Well, we always work to improve our process to get better. We've done a lot of grid improvements around the area. We've upgraded poles and wires. We've placed some of our outage-prone lines underground. We've talked about this before, but adding self-healing technology has really been our big achievement over the last mm-hmm. few years. That's a tool that can identify power outages automatically and look to reroute power to other power lines. And that can help to reduce the number of customers that are affected by an outage. It doesn't get rid of the damage itself. A crew still has to fix that. But if we can cut down the number of people affected by, say, 75%, maybe get their power back up in a few seconds instead of hours, that can make a huge difference during a storm. And that technology has really helped provide significant benefits over the last year, more than 1 million outages avoided. About 60% of those benefits happened during major storms. So this is a tool we use a lot. It's been a powerful new addition over the last few years that's really helped our crews in the field get customers back up faster.
We've talked about this before too, Jeff, and you mentioned underground power lines. A lot of folks will say, well, why don't you just put all the power lines underground and just alleviate right. all of these issues? What are the challenges with that theory?
Well, it would be a tremendous project to try to put, you know, 100,000 plus miles of power lines underground. And the reality is that in most cases, the overhead lines perform about the same as the underground lines. You know, placing a line underground may help cut down on an outage from a tree or something like that, but there's a different set of outages that occur underground, and they can take longer to repair. So having those lines up on the poles is usually the right thing to do. We do look at every situation, and if there's no better solution, then we may place it underground. But often those pole and line upgrades or the self-healing technology or something else can generate as good or better benefits and is more cost-effective, because if you put all those lines that are already overhead underground, it would tremendously increase customer bills. And you know, we can't do that without a real justifiable reason that would bring incremental benefits that would make that make sense.
Jeff, are there things that our listeners should be doing to get ahead of this potential winter weather as it relates to their power system?
Well, you know, this is the second storm in 2 weeks, so we're here in early January. We typically see winter weather potentially head into early March. So, you know, there's the potential for this and more storms. So having a plan in place right now is a good thing to do. If you rely on electricity for medical needs, you need to have a plan in place for what you would do if you lost power. You need to make sure you keep your cell phone charged as we go into the storm, because, you know, that we all know that's where all of our information comes from. And that's also how you can report outages and track the way we restore power. And then just making sure that the winter storms are challenging and dangerous conditions, and the roads aren't great. So if you can at all possibly stay home when the storm hits, you know, just relax, work at home, whatever you need to do. and let our crews get out and do the work they do. Let other emergency crews get out there. They're out there to help you. We want to keep them safe. So making sure you're giving them space to work along the roads and not creating new outages by trying to drive your car out there and hitting a utility pole. That's a huge help for us, and we certainly appreciate it.
Jeff, last thought to let you go, just kind of in general, as we get into these colder months, what can we do to lower our power bills this winter?
Well, it's definitely cold this week, this week, next week, it's going to be cold. So, you know, little things make a big difference. You can bump that thermostat down a few degrees. The lowest comfortable setting, the closer you're getting to outside temperature, you know, the more you're going to save. Even if it's just a couple degrees, you can make a big difference. Keeping your air filters clean, opening up the blinds on the sunny side of your house during the day to let that warmth come in, and then using a ceiling fan, believe it or not, on clockwise direction, can pull that warm air down from the ceiling, can make your room more comfortable. All those little things and checking for leaks around doors and windows can add up and can really generate savings over the couple months that we see higher bills this winter.
Jeff Brooks with Duke Energy. Jeff, always appreciate your time. All the best to you and your crews as you get ready for this storm this week. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.